You have your Bible open to the book of Romans chapter 3. Let me share this with you this morning. I want to read quite a few verses here. And as we look at it together this morning, notice what he begins as he is talking about the Jews. Paul is writing to the Romans. These are Gentiles, I believe, and Jewish believers that are in Rome. And he says, "What advantage then hath the Jew? And what profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them was committed the oracles of God." That means the word of God. God gave the word of God through the Jews. "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yet let God be true and every man a liar. And as it is written, that thou mightest be justified when in thy sayings, and might overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God's righteousness is God unrighteous who hath vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abundantly through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I justified as a sinner?" Now here's the question. How can you get judged, rather, as a sinner? "And not rather, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm, and as we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just." Now they were accusing him of saying, "Let's do evil so good could come." Verse number 9, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. For they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they've not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the faith, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Will you bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you and give you glory for your mercy and grace. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, Lord, would bless this morning. I want to give you praise, Lord, for all that you've done in the preparation for Judgment House. Our Father, and all those who have been a part God, those who have been in the plays, those who work behind the scenes. Our Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost of God that has spoken to hearts and dealt with people. And God, for those who have been saved, Lord, that we know about and the many that we probably don't even know about. And God, we want to thank you for the seed of the gospel that's sown that will definitely give increase in many lives down the road. Thank you, our Father, also for the challenge to believers. Our Father, for their urgency of being a witness for Christ and leading others to you. And God, for the challenge, our Father, that this ministry and this church has been to Christians who've come, who've gone back home to their churches now with a fresh zeal and a fresh burden. And God, to believe that they ought to be doing more for you. And God, that you'll use that, our Father, to work in their hearts and work in their homes and work in their churches, that our Father, that you might use them for your glory as well, that souls might be saved, and God, you'd get all the praise and honor and glory. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This wonderful passage of scripture that I've just read, and I kind of stumbled through. I hope you remember Miss Ella Peacock when I was down in Florida. A dear lady got saved. She couldn't read. And she came up to me one Sunday morning, and she said, "Brother Bill, I love you to hear you read the Bible." I said, "Well, nobody's ever told me that before." And she said, "Yes, sir." She said, "You read just like a third grader, and I can understand it." And but I hope you understand what I'm saying. And I mentioned last Sunday, we're talking about Judgment House. Last week we quoted, as does Brother Roger in the judgment scene, Hebrews, where he says that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, this morning, I want to preach to you on this thought for just a few minutes, the justifying judge. The justifying judge. And there's three little things. If you remember these things this morning, I believe God would bless us together. Number one, in this short passage of Scripture, there is unquestionable guilt. Unquestionable guilt. And then in this passage of Scripture, there is an unswerving judge. And then the last thing and the blessed part of this truth is this: there is unmerited redemption. Three little things in this passage of Scripture I've just read to you. First of all, there is unquestionable guilt. I mentioned last week in Hebrews, it said this: it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. On last Sunday night, I preached about the judgment seat of Christ, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for the things we've done in our body, whether they were good or bad. This judgment has nothing to do with salvation. You get saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But every believer will have to stand before Christ at the judgment seat, which is like an award ceremony, if you will, to give an answer for the things they've done within their body, with his time that he gave you. Your time is not your own. It belongs to him. With your talent, that is the gifts that you have, those are gifts of God, and you're to invest them in his cause. Then for your tithe, which is the money, and that's not your own. It belongs to him. How you use your money for the glory of God and all those things. So we have to give an account for all that we do as a believer. He allows us opportunity to serve him. I'll have to give an account. You'll have to give an account. But this morning, Paul is talking about before that judgment, there's another judgment that we have to deal with and we have to look at it. Paul is writing to a group of people who are Jews and Roman citizens. He himself was a Jew and a Roman citizen. In the first place, they were people who put great emphasis as Jews on the Levitical law of Moses. That is, all the commands of Moses and keeping that law. They believed that by keeping the law, that they could go to heaven. That if they would obey the law of God and fulfill the law of God in their life, that they would get to live in the kingdom of God for all eternity. Now, Paul explains some things to them. And he says to them, understand this, that the law was never given to give life. The law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. And the first thing I want you to understand this morning is in this passage of Scripture, there is unquestionable guilt. He says this, for instance. He says that the Bible, the Word of God, has concluded all under sin. There's no difference. Look at verse number 9. He said that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. And then, again, in chapter number 3, and if you will, look at verse number 23. Again, he says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, here's unquestionable guilt. All are guilty. Everybody is considered a sinner. And the word of God, the law was given that every mouth might be stopped. Now, put with that the Roman thought pattern of Roman justice. Roman law was supreme in the land. It was the holy Roman Empire. And their word was final. And they believed in unswerving and speedy judgment to lawbreakers. Now, their morals disintegrated and their empire failed, not because of their judicial laws, but because of their moral failures. You can have written in legislation all the morality you want, but when individuals fail personally to live a moral life, it is destructive. And somebody, I was listening this past week or so, and they were talking about our democracy. Our democracy, that as we operated, was set up to be operated in the confines of a Christian society. And if it doesn't function in a Christian society, it is horrible. It is horrible. There's no way for it to exist. And so when our morals decline and our values decline and our lifestyles become corrupt, our laws mean absolutely nothing. But my dear friend, we are unquestionably guilty. Every person in the sound of my voice, radio and in the internet and in this building, he said he's concluded all under sin or included all under sin, and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I've illustrated over the years like this. What does it mean? It means to come short. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you compare yourself to me, you do pretty good. If you compare yourself to other people, you do pretty good. But if you compare yourself to the glory of God, and Hebrews says this, that Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God. And when you compare yourself to Jesus, we fall short. Now, you think about how far short. Some, in our estimation, are worse than others. There's some people we look at and we say, well, they are just horrible, wicked sinners. And there's some who are good people. But the Bible said all fall short. And I've illustrated over the years like this. If you go to a circus and there's a trapeze actors there, and there's two men and a lady, and the swing's going back and forth. They climb up that long ladder, and they get on the platform here, and the swing comes back and forth. And so the first guy jumps out, and he misses it about this far. And the second guy jumps, and he misses it about that far. And the ladies watch those two guys mess up, and everybody in here knows that a woman can outdo a man. That lady, that's the only chance you're going to get to say amen today, and you missed it, so you forget it. You can just forget it. I gave you a chance, praise God. You wasn't listening. You missed it. The lady jumps, having watched the men fail, and she only misses it about a half an inch. The guy, first guy missed it this far, second guy this far, and the lady only missed it an inch. Who falls? Everybody. Makes no difference if you're a wicked, wicked sinner in the world's estimation. According to the law, if you're a wicked sinner. But whatever it is, or if you're a good moral person, a nice lady, nice boy, nice girl, and you don't have anything on your record and you don't do the things that people consider sin, the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's lost. The wage of sin is death. Unquestionable guilt. Now, I don't give that estimation. The Baptists don't give that estimation. Even our court system don't give the estimation. But the Bible said God does. God does. Unquestionable guilt. But then there's an unswerving judge. Our attorney general, and I'm not throwing rocks at our attorney general, but we have some legislation that's been passed recently, and he said, I don't agree with the law, but I enforce the law of the land. But I'll tell you something about this judge. He does agree with the moral demands of this book. He's not bound by law. He's bound by his holiness. And he's an unswerving judge. He won't give me a break. He won't give you a break. He's not going to give any consolation or any concessions to personal failure or the problem in your family or any of those things. We're unquestionably guilty. And he is an unswerving judge. He knows absolutely everything that's in your heart, everything that's in your mind. He knows everything about you. And he is unswerving in his justice. His honor is at stake. He's not, Bible said, he's let God be true and every man a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. And so his honor is at stake, but his holiness is at stake. His holiness is at stake. He is an unswerving judge because of his holiness. And he cannot give concessions to sin. He will not ignore my sin or your sin. We are unquestionably guilty and we'll have to give an account for that sin, or that sin has to be dealt with. He is an unswerving judge. We are unquestionably guilty before him. That puts us in an awful position, doesn't it? He knows everything about my past. He knows everything about my future. He knows everything about my thought life. He knows everything about my secret life, what nobody else knows, what my wife doesn't know, what my husband doesn't know, what mom and dad doesn't know, what anybody else doesn't know. He sees in the dark as good as you can see in the light. He knows everything about us. And he knows, and he's concluded, all under sin. Everybody's under sin. Now here you stand before this holy judge, unswerving, and you're unquestionably guilty. What is your only hope? Here's what he wants the Romans to see. Because they could not understand the concept of how sinners could go to heaven. How sinners could go to heaven. They don't understand the concept of faith and grace and mercy. Because they deal only with an unswerving judge and unquestioned guilt. And it has to be executed promptly and swiftly. And Paul wants them to understand something. And so in this passage of Scripture, he said, but now the righteousness of God is made manifest. How does it work? How is it that God, who is unswerving, how can he be the justifying judge? Here's how. The Bible says this, that his Son, in this passage of Scripture, that we have redemption through his Son. And he is the propitiation for our sins and for all who will believe. Now, that word propitiation, what does it mean? He is the satisfaction for our sin. The reason God can justify me, and quite simply that word justify is a legal term as the judge pronounced. Roger in the scene in there, as he says it's not your time and he hits that gavel. Well, that judge has the final word. And when he says guilty, you're guilty. And when he says not guilty, you're not guilty. And God, in the economy of his grace, can say not guilty. How can it be? If I'm a sinner and you're a sinner, how can God do that? Here's how. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He wanted these Roman Jews to understand this. God does not ignore his law. God does not set aside his law. He satisfied his law. The word propitiation means satisfaction. The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied all the demands of the law. He lived a sinless life, but he died a sacrificial death. You see, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see what? Here's how God could do that. How can God be just and the justifier? Here's how. Here's my sin. Here's your sin. Here's the law. The law says the wages of sin is death. The penalty on this sin is an execution. It's death. And so what God did is he took his own son, put all of our sin on him. He who had perfectly kept the law, he had no guilt in regard to the law. He just put all of our sin on him, and he executed all of my judgment on the Lord Jesus Christ and all of your judgment on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the ransom. Jesus paid the debt. Jesus bore your sin. And listen, it is unmerited justification. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But he said it is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be justified. What's that mean? It means that when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I believe you bore my sin in your own body and you died on that tree for me, and we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ became our Savior, our Redeemer, and we stand before God justified because all of my sin debt was laid on Jesus. He paid all of my sin debt. And now I stand before him justified, just as if I've never sinned because of what Jesus did. You say, Brother Billy, it's hard for me to understand that. I feel like I need to do something. I ought to do something. It is unmerited justification. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. It is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why as they go through Judgment House and the Spirit of God speaks to their heart and they see that this is real. I went through the very first session that went through as a prayer walker. I was just blown away as pastor at the acting of all of our kids and all of our adults. I mean, it was awesome. And every time I've been through, it just gets better and better and better. And people look at that and they say, well, this is not real. This is just acting. It is a portrayal. They are revealing real life. And what they're showing in that is just a small inkling of what goes on in homes all around this church that's real, very real. Sin is very real. Adultery is very real. Murder is very real. Sin is rampant. It is real. That's just a portrayal of realness. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you can stand before Him justified, because like John says when he stands up here, he said, I love you and I died for you. That's what it's all about. I mean, he's standing. And you know what he's doing? If you came to Judgment House and you came and you saw John when he stood there like this, you know what? Right now, that's what he's doing right now. He said this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And if you come to him, he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. He is the justifying judge. Think about this. If the evidence is presented and a person's not guilty, and if he's tried in with a jury of his own peers, that judge adheres to the law and he declares him innocent. But here's a unique situation. This judge, having judged us to all be sinners, he said there's only one way that I could ever justify this person, and that is that my holiness and my honor be upheld. And he said this sin has to be punished. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The only way for this judge to justify me was to let his Son die for me and for you. And this judge satisfied the demands of the law and his own holiness by giving his own Son. And now, because of what he did for us, because of him allowing his Son to die for us, he can justify us from all sin because Jesus has paid that sin debt. And it's only by faith, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for those who have done it this week. And for those in the sound of my voice in the internet audience, radio audience, and right here now. Would you want that today? Would you like to have that today? It's by grace through faith. And it said to justify all who believe. All. Would you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I want to this morning, first of all, if you're here, and if you're like me, when you walk into the heaven scene, it's just fresh every time. And to stand there and think that there's coming a day that you and I have the wonderful privilege of entering into His presence, not because of anything we've ever done, but because of the shed blood of Christ, because I am unquestionably guilty. He is an unswerving judge, but I have experienced an unmerited justification. I get to go to heaven because of Jesus, and you can go too. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you be willing to do that right now? Right now where you are, in our media audience, in your home, in your car, in your 18-wheeler, would you right now be willing to be born again by the grace of God? Would you come to Him? He said, he that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's your case right now, while we have our heads bowed and eyes closed here in the building and throughout our media audience, would you right now trust him as your Savior? Believing that you're a sinner, believing he died for you, will you accept that free gift? If you will, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I don't deserve to be saved. But God, you gave your Son. He bore my sin, and he died for me. I believe, Lord, that you bore my sin, that you died and were buried, and that you're alive. Lord Jesus, come in my heart right now. I receive you and accept you as my Savior and Lord, my only hope of heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me, and for dying for me, and for saving me right now. While we have our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm just wondering, is there a man or woman, a boy or girl, who right now, for the first time in this service, in this building, and you really mean it, you ask Jesus to come in your heart just now, and you know beyond any shadow of a doubt you're going to heaven, you just prayed that prayer this morning, would you raise your hand? Let me look across the building. God bless you, my friend. God bless you, honey. Bless your heart. God bless you. Thank the Lord for you. You believe that? Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. He knows everything about us, and it's by simple faith. Now, here's what we'll do. The Bible says you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Thank you for acknowledging it by lifting your hand. I'd encourage you to let other people know that. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You've found a good church. If it's this church, we'd welcome you. If you feel like God wants you here, if you find a good Bible-believing church, if you live in another area. But the next step is to confess him publicly. Let people know you got saved. Not be ashamed of him. And then follow him in believer's baptism. And then get in and study the Word of God and grow with God's people and be a witness to others. So for our dear friends who just raised their hand, we'd love to have you here. Our folk rejoiced this morning to know that you got saved. So it's a little bit different here this morning with the arrangement. But as we have opportunity here in a few minutes, I'd like to invite you to come and to one of the nearest aisles. And there'll be some folk who'll greet you. Brother Tim will be here to my right. And Brother Mitchell Barber is going to stand over here on my left. And I'll be here in the front. And if you want this morning to come, let people know, rejoice with you, and pray with you that you trusted Christ. I'd love for you to do that. Now, how many of you this morning are Christians? You say, Brother Billy, through the Judgment House and through the work that God's doing, I know that I ought to be doing more for him and I ought to be more involved in ministry. And preacher, I want you to pray that I'll not be a hearer of the word only, but a doer of the word. I want to get involved doing things for Jesus, whether it's in the choir or Sunday school or Judgment House or the upcoming presentation for Easter or physical work around the building. And preacher, I want to just thank the Lord for what he's done for me by giving my life a living sacrifice. And I want to serve the Lord here. Will you raise your hand high this morning as we all join together in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for God's people this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who raised their hands, said they trusted you as Savior. Thank you, our Father, that this morning, because of God's people praying so and bathing this place in prayer, in preparation for Judgment House, that our Father, the sweet Spirit of God, is honored this morning to speak to hearts. And at least two raised their hands, said they trusted you as Savior. And God, I thank you for that. And I pray, God, this morning that, God, they'll not be ashamed. And God, that they'll let other people know that they got saved. God, I pray now that you do a work. God, for God's people who've said they want to love you and serve you, thank you, Lord, from the bottom of my heart for the dedication and love of God's people here and for their sacrifice here at Benson Grove, Lord, for your call, for your glory, and God, for using them in such a wonderful way. Lord, those who work physically on the props and getting everything together, for the many hours of preparation, training, and practice. God, for those who work behind the scenes with the sound and everything. And God, for all the actors, I thank you. For all the counselors, those who work the parking lot. God, those who do the makeup, every phase of the ministry. Thank you for their loving you and serving you. And God, I pray, God, you'd move. Now, let's stand with our heads bowed for just another moment. And Miss Pansy's going to play. I want to give you an opportunity. Brother Ricky, is going to lead us in a song, or he'll sing a song, a verse of a song, Brother Rick, if you don't mind. And I want to give you an opportunity while we're praying and attitude of prayer this morning. Brother Tim's here. Brother Mitchell's here. I'll hit front. And if God spoke to your heart and you need somebody to help you or pray with you further before we leave the building, I want us to do this. And please don't leave. I've got some just quick thing I want to say to you before you leave. But I want to give you an opportunity while folk are praying, nobody's looking around. If you got saved this morning, you're not ashamed of it, would you come take one of these men, myself, by the hand, and let's just rejoice with you. And we'd like to let folk know you got saved. And if you're here this morning, God spoke to your heart in any way, we can help you. For just one moment, one verse of a song,